In the name of the God who created us, the Christ that redeems us, and the Spirit who continues to support us day in and day out, my friends, welcome home, children of God. It is a joy to see everyone this morning. A few things in the life of the church to share with you. Number one, we are getting close to picking back up with our fall schedule, so please keep an eye out for the Caroline and the bulletin. We'll be starting back up on Bible study on Wednesdays, and yoga will start up as well, so please keep an eye out for those things. I have a couple of pastoral care concerns to share with you this morning. As you probably are aware, COVID decided to come back to Little Rock this week in force. And a number of members of the congregation have been exposed to it. A couple of members have had it. So please do keep everyone in your prayers and take what precautions you feel would be best for you to do. We'll let you know if anything happens that we need to take precautions as a body at some point. But please just be mindful that COVID is back in Little Rock for the fall, a little early. Also, Mary Ellen asked me to share with you all this morning that she had some tests done last week, and the doctors had discovered an early cancer, and she is having several appointments this week, looking forward to getting surgery soon, we hope. She's being cared for at Carti, but she does welcome everyone's prayers. We'll keep everyone updated on her condition. She's doing fine right now, but there are a lot of unknowns, as you can imagine, so your prayers for comfort and for calm for her will be most welcomed. Please keep in your prayers also the people in Jacksonville, Florida. Many of you saw yesterday there was a mass shooting that was bias-related at a Dollar General store in Jacksonville. 3 victims and 11 others who were injured. And also, which not made the news as much, but the wildfires in Louisiana have taken a real toll down there. And a number of communities with connections both to the Presbytery of Arkansas through some of our Katrina work years ago, but also through members of the church and family in those communities have been impacted. So please keep people of those communities in Louisiana in your prayers, as well as the first responders and those who are seeking to care for all of them. Now, friends, let us still our hearts, prepare ourselves to worship God.
Friends, stand, please, as we together recite our call to worship. Come, let us celebrate the forgiving, reconciling love of God. For once we were lost and felt so far away. Now we have been found and welcomed home. Know that God's love is lavished upon you forever. We rejoice in the news of the forgiveness and hope. Come, let us celebrate and praise the God of love. Amen. Lord, we would follow you wherever you might lead. Lord, we would follow you. Forgive us when we stumble and when we stray. Forgive us when distracted we lose our way. Be the one to whom we turn, whose hand we hold, the shepherd who leads us safely to the fold. Lord, we would follow you wherever you might lead. Lord, we would follow you. Amen. Sit. Brothers and sisters, nothing we can say or do can ever separate us from God. Mercy and love. The gifts of God are eternal and will never be withdrawn. God's ultimate desire and purpose is not to punish, but to forgive. So together, we may pray with hope, not fear. Let us pray together. God of wisdom, we confess the foolishness of our ways and our failure to follow you in your paths of right relationships with you and with others. We have gone astray. We feel lost. We have upheld our own interests first to the detriment of others. We have failed to be generous to the poor and abandoned our efforts to bring about justice. We feel the weight of our sins, God. Have mercy on us, and according to your steadfast love,
we seek your unfailing love and ask for your guiding
hand in our lives. You are the immortal, invisible one. You are honor and glory forever.
Friends, the proof of God's amazing love is this, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, be with you all. Please share signs of Christ's peace with your neighbors. There we are. In our poetry series is a poem from the poet Christina Rossetti, a poem named Good Friday. This was a poem that she wrote as part of her own struggle of faith. It's a beautiful poem. It's one that I've had in my office for a number of years for a lot of reasons. But hear her words before we hear God's word read and proclaimed. Am I a stone and not a sheep? That I can stand, O Christ, beneath thy cross. to number drop by drop thy blood's slow loss, and yet not weep? Not so those women loved who with exceeding grief lamented thee. Not so fallen Peter weeping bitterly. Not so the thief was moved. Not so the sun and moon, which had their faces in a hid their faces in a starless sky. A horror of great darkness that broad noon. I, only I. Yet give not o'er, but seek thy sheep, true shepherd of the flock. Greater than Moses, turn and look once more, and smite a rock. And paired with that, our lesson today is actually from Luke chapter 15, rather than John. As we prepare to hear God's word, let's go to God in a word of prayer, if we may. Good and gracious God, open our hearts and our minds as your word is read and proclaimed. It may truly be a lamp unto our feet and a light to a path. Amen. From the 15th chapter of Luke's gospel, all the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose someone among you had 100 sheep and lost one of them. Wouldn't he leave the other 99 in the pasture and search for the lost one until he finds it? And when he finds it, he is thrilled and places it on his shoulders. When he arrives home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Celebrate with me because I found my lost sheep." In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who changes both heart and life than over 99 righteous people who have no need to change their hearts and lives. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Should it please you, O God, to speak to this unworthy servant, then speak. In addition to all time, speak to us as only you can, in the silence of our hearts. Amen. When I was a freshman at Millsaps, I had a few people along my hall in my dorm and a few of our friends on campus happened to have our exams at the very beginning of exam week. So we were done with the semester pretty early. But we weren't going home yet because the semester hadn't technically ended and we were all still in the dorm. And so we were just hanging out one night and thought to ourselves, let's go Christmas caroling. Now, none of us could sing. Y'all stood next to me in worship. You know I can't. We decided to go Christmas caroling, and we decided to go up to Northeast Jackson by the Jackson Country Club, swankiest part of town, and just start knocking on random doors and singing Christmas carols to them, at least the parts we could remember. Well, as we wandered through the neighborhood, we found some fascinating houses to go to. The first house we came to was Stacy's house. I don't know what Stacy's last name was. I just remember Stacy lived there. She was having the Chi Omega alumni Christmas party that night. So we stayed there for a little while and visited with them and had a nice little time. The next house we went to was this huge house up there by the country club where the door was opened by a waiter dressed to the nines. And the waiter had on cufflinks and a string of lights, all of which lit up like Christmas lights. At one house where they were also having a Christmas party, the owners of the house asked us if we would come in and sing a couple of songs for them. So they lined us up the stairs like the Von Trapp family singers. And they passed the hat for us, which I will tell you, we did not turn down. But the most memorable house was when we knocked on someone's door. A husband and wife answered, both of them in aprons. You could tell they'd been in the kitchen baking something. And I don't know how they knew we were there, like coming to their house, but they greeted us with hot coffee. So either they saw us walking through the neighborhood or there was a neighborhood watch alert. One of the two. But when they opened the door, the couple looked at us and said, "You all must be freezing. Come in. Have some coffee." So we came in and we sat in their kitchen with them and visited while they were making Christmas candy and cookies for their friends. They welcomed us with open arms. We all kind of felt like we belonged there by the end of the evening. We made fast friends with this couple, and they were so incredibly open to us being there, these complete strangers. They just welcomed into their homes. Imagine doing that. That's not a very comfortable thing to do, is it? To welcome someone that way into your home. With our text this morning, we find out that part of the reason that Jesus is getting in trouble with the Pharisees is they find him to be too welcoming. He's too nice to the wrong people. The Greek word that's used there in verse 2 for welcome is prosdekomai. Prosdekomai comes from the root word of dekomai, which means to gather into your arms. So when you welcome someone the way Jesus welcomes them, you don't just open the door and say, "Oh, hello." You open the door and say, "You look cold. Have some coffee. Come in. Share our space with us. Visit with us. Let's get to know each other." Gathering them in is what Jesus was doing. But remember, Jesus was gathering in the wrong people. Right? Jesus was welcoming in the sinners and the tax collectors. And do not look around to wonder who they are. Because it's us, friends. Do not ask for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for we. We are the ones that Jesus was inviting in. This ragtag bunch of undeserving people who Jesus said, no, you're deserving simply by virtue of being a child of God. Come, join me, follow me. Well, the Pharisees would have none of that. They couldn't have any of that. Keeping power for them meant keeping some people on the outside. Because that's how power works. Power separates us. Power is always over and against someone. And Jesus came in and he shatters that. He shatters that dynamic and that hierarchy. And then Jesus calls all of us and says, "Do likewise." That's kind of a frightening prospect, isn't it? To do likewise. One of the most common conversations you have when you're a pastor is someone who comes to you very distraught and says, "I'm a really bad Christian." And I had a really great pastoral care professor in seminary who said, "The only legitimate answer to that is, so am I. So am I." We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, don't we? The glory of God is that Jesus specializes in bad Christians. Jesus seeks out the bad Christians. Jesus seeks out the failures, the ones who fall behind, and gathers them in to Jesus' self. But it's so easy for us sometimes, I think, to feel like Rossetti did when she wrote this poem, Good Friday. Like we're the only ones at the foot of that cross who don't deserve the wonder of Christ. Who don't know the joy of being a good Christian. Of being a flawless disciple. Rossetti about drove herself mad with her own feelings of inadequacy in the life of a Christian. And in her poem, she says, "Am I the only one beneath this cross, who's not a sheep, but a stone." Not a sheep, but a stone. It's a wonderful image, isn't it? Standing at the foot of the cross of the Good Shepherd and feeling like you're anything but one of his flock. But Jesus specializes. He longs for those of us who fall short and who fail. I find great comfort in that. I really do. Because I'm not a very good Christian some days either. And I'll tell you, as my friend Nadia Bowles-Weber loves to say, it is painful to be a pastor when you're not a very good Christian. And she's right. There are days when I feel like an imposter in my office, when I feel like an imposter in the pulpit. I don't need to be there. There's got to be somebody better for this job. In fact, I can tell you who's better for the job. I mean, Jesus, come on. Of all the people you could have called. But then I'm reminded that the life of faith is not about being good enough at it. It's not about getting it right. It's about remembering the truth of it. Remembering the truth of the grace of God in Christ. Remembering the love of God in Christ's forgiveness. And letting those things propel us forward in life and in the world. We are sometimes bad Christians, but we serve a good shepherd. And because we do, we are gathered in time and time and time again. This is one of the things that John Calvin wrote extensively about in his theology, but he knew there was a trap door in it. And that trap door is the thinking that says, well, if I can't be that good a Christian, I might as well just do what I want to, right? I mean, if Jesus is going to forgive me anyway, why bother? I hear that all the time. All the time. Why bother? If I'm going to get forgiven no matter what I do, I might as well have fun doing it. Rather than spend all of my time trying to feed the poor and clothe the naked and comfort the grieving. It'd be so much more fun just to do for me. Do my thing in the world. Maybe that's the point, you think? That we should just sin and keep sinning because we're going to get it forgiven anyway? Martin Luther famously considered that question and said, yes, we should all sin boldly because we're all going to sin. Sin boldly, he said, but trust in Christ more boldly still. That's what is being taught to us in this parable this morning. Remember that, yes, we're going to wander away from the flock. We're going to wander away from our shepherd. We are going to wander away and get stuck in the brambles and the bushes. And Jesus is going to have to come and rescue us time and time and time again. But remember, the place we belong is with the Good Shepherd in the flock. This story that Jesus tells, this parable, it's so interesting that Jesus walks away from the 99 to find the one. I mean, the math doesn't work, right? I mean, if you have 100 of something and you lose one of them, you don't leave the 99 behind and hope they'll be there when you get back. I mean, if you had 100 $1 bills, would you put 99 of them on your front step and go find the one you lost inside? In my neighborhood, you wouldn't. But I guarantee you somebody would drive by and say, oh, look at that. I can use those $99. Jesus, though, has faith in the flock. Because what Jesus understands is that when we are gathered together in all of our flaws and all of our failures, we become greater than the parts that we bring together. You and I and them and all of us, when we are gathered together as the body of Christ, Christ knows and trusts that because that is where we are called to be and who we are called to be, when we are together, we are better than we are when we are alone and when we are apart. Being a good Christian does not mean getting it right all the time. It doesn't even mean deserving it all the time. What it means is trusting in the promise. Trusting in the promise of the flock. Trusting in the promise of the shepherd. Trusting in the promise of the Christ who calls us. When he was named Pope, Pope Francis decided to take his papacy in a slightly different direction than his predecessor did. You may remember when Pope Benedict would appear in public, he always had on all of the ceremonial garb of a pope. He had on the robes and the overlays and the overlays of the overlays and the stoles and the hat and everything. He looked like an extra in the Pirates of Penzance when he was out there on that balcony. Pope Francis, though, when he was named the Pope, he just chose to wear the shoes he'd worn into the conclave that morning, not the fancy red slippers the Pope was supposed to wear. He didn't wear the fur cape. He just wore a simple cassock. And he was the first Pope in 600 years to not wear the gold, bejeweled pectoral cross of St. Peter. Instead, he wore and still wears a little cross about that big that was given to him when he was still a priest in Argentina. It's a cross that depicts not Christ crucified, but Christ carrying the lost sheep, with the others following behind, the dove of the Spirit descending from above. The lost sheep matters to the shepherd, friends. You and I matter to the shepherd. Even when we find ourselves so far away that we can't even see the flock anymore, Christ comes and seeks us out and does not admonish us or punish us or ridicule us or belittle us or anything else, but throw open Christ's arms and say, "Welcome." As he gathers us in to himself once more. Friends, as we go into this day, we go into a world that is hurting. We go into a world that is broken. We go into a world that is lonely. We go into that world bearing with us good news. Good news of this good shepherd who seeks to heal what is broken, who seeks to lift up what is knocked down, and who seeks to welcome those who feel unwelcome. We as the body of Christ, the flock of Christ, the children of God in this place, are called to take on the work of Christ, to go out from this place and find the lost and the lonely and not say to them, "Get your act together and get to church," but say to them instead, "Welcome. Welcome. Come. Join the household of God. Join the flock of the Good Shepherd. Welcome." Even bad Christians can do that, friends. Amen.
Let's join together with our affirmation of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Constant as your Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he arose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again in glory and judge the living and the dead,
and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As we prepare for the offering this morning, I neglected one important announcement this morning. Kay, if you wouldn't mind, come and offer the announcements from PW.
A final total from Treats and Treasures, $16,339.01. That's after our expenses. So our total income was $19,796. Thank you to all of you that all the efforts, without your work, without your time, without your commitment of being there and bringing furniture and stuff, we couldn't have made it. We couldn't have done it. So we appreciate that. Also, our PW women, as that includes every single woman in this building, you're a Presbyterian woman, whether you attend a circle or not, we will be starting our new Bible study called Sacred Encounters. It's the power and presence of Jesus Christ in Luke and Acts. So we'll be studying the Bible of Luke and Acts. I think you'll find it very helpful. Our first meeting will be a joint meeting of both the morning and the evening circle. It'll be September the 11th. It'll be at 6:30. It will be in the chapel. There will be light snacks and lots of wonderful desserts. So I hope you would all come, whether you feel like you're a member of the circle groups or not. Come and see and enjoy. I'll have these, our Bible study books, Horizon Bible study books, out in the foyer after church. They're $10 for the regular size print and $15 for the large size print. So I have some of both. And, they're $15 for the large print, regular print, $10. And I'll be out there if you would like a book. Thank you.
Now, friends, all that we have and all that we are gifts from God's generous and loving hands. Let's return to God our tithes and our offerings. You will find offering boxes at the front of the intermediate aisles of the church.
Thank you.
Friends, I invite you to join me as we turn to God in a word of prayer. Eternal and merciful God, giver of every good thing, finder of every lost sheep, we give you thanks for the world that we share and the faith that you have gifted to us. It is for that world and in that faith that we turn to you now in prayer, not that we may get what we want, but that your will may be done in this world. We give you thanks, O God, for the church, for its leaders, its members, for the holy purpose of the people of God in the world, for those places where we have failed as institutions, we beg your forgiveness. For those places where we have lived into your calling, we pray your energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. For the faithful mission of your church that takes the witness of Christ beyond the walls and into the world, remind us, O God, each and every day, that the truest proclamation does not happen in a pulpit or in a building, but in the witness of our very lives. May we bear into the world the gentleness of Christ. May we witness to the generosity of Christ. And may we now and always proclaim the grace of Christ. For the nations and the peoples of the world, O God, we pray a spirit of respect and forbearance, that where there is discord and difference, there may be peace and unity, that we may look beyond the things in this world that divide us, so that we may see the perfection of your world to come, and strive in this life, O God, not to wait for your kingdom, but to build it stone by stone and relationship by relationship in this very world. We pray, O God, for your creation, for the wonder of all things that you have made. We delight, O God, in the beauty and the harmony of the work of your hands. And yes, at times we tremble at the sight of nature's power. Today we pray especially for those who have been dealing with inclement weather, storms, fires. We give you thanks, O God, for those who care for them, and we pray, O God, your peace for them. We pray for your children in this place and all places, for those who want today in body and mind or in spirit, we beg the presence of your Spirit. For those whose lives are consumed by hatred or fear, we ask, O God, that you would replace those things with love and with grace. Heal us, O God, from the wounds that we have inflicted and have been inflicted upon us, that we may more faithfully and more perfectly proclaim the love of Christ in the firm and certain knowledge of your love for us. We pray all of these things, O God, not because we must, but because in the confidence of the children of God, we know that we may. So it is in that confidence that we pray as Christ taught us, boldly saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we go from this place today, if you are seeking a new church home, I invite you to join us in the parlor after worship, where the session will be gathered to welcome new members into our fellowship. Now, friends, go into this day to love and to serve the Lord with gladness and with singleness of heart. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit be with us and keep us. In this and in every day. In one voice may all God's children say, Amen. Amen.